Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
With Ken Laird and Chris Curtis on WEEI.
Well, au contraire, my good folks. No Ken, no Curtis. Instead, they let the animal out from 8 a.m. into 9 a.m. to fill in. It's Chris Scheim, joined by the man himself, the super fan, the homer, my good buddy Fitzy. What's up, bud?
It's the Foxborough fanboy and the DVOA hole back together again at last, my guy.
It has been quite a long time since you and I have done a show together. Luckily, you, me, and Keith got to do a show just over a week ago together, which was a blast. Great time to reminisce, but you and I back together on a Saturday morning for the first time in ages.
I can't get enough. And for whatever it is that people come to expect from the Ken and Curtis program on a Saturday morning, you can just expect more of that, but better, higher energy, nonstop sports fanaticism at its absolutely over-caffeinated finest, bro.
Let me just ask, who's going to be Ken? Who's going to be Curtis? Who's got to be Mr. Positive? And crazy takes.
Generally, that would be the super fanboy, homer boy himself, Fitzy, and the DVOA hole over here is normally the negative one. That's generally how that goes.
Still, I haven't trotted that nickname out in the longest time.
That's good.
How come that has not been co-opted by the morning show?
I don't know. They like to call me the professor, which is actually kind of nicer. So, I'm not arguing with it. I go by many, nom de plumes? Is that it?
Yes.
So I have many different pseudonyms.
As do I. The Honk, the Homer, the Foxborough Fanboy, some other things I can't say, even if we think they're safe harbor at 9:02 on a Saturday.
Definitely can't. But Fitzy, the good news for us is the Red Sox actually made a move. Look at us. We come in, we host Ken and Curtis for the first time in quite some time, and the Red Sox decide to actually make a move and give us something to talk about. The Red Sox signed Lucas Giolito yesterday, 2 years, $38.5 million, an opt-out for Giolito after year one, a club option based on performance after year two, and with incentives, this deal can get up to about $40 million.
Which is, if he performs to whatever standard Andrew Bailey and Craig Breslow think he can, could potentially be a steal. But the problem is, if he pitches really well, well, there's a couple problems with the deal. Uh-oh. T-3, 2-1 to typically Boston negative media response. look, if the guy performs really well after 1 year, he gone. That's it. He'll probably opt out, and then he'll go try to seek, like, hardcore starter money. Though most people around the league, I understand the X platform, formerly known as Twitter, is not a place to gauge what's going on in the real world or how people really feel. But just to sort of, like, take the temperature of Red Sox Nation, most people in baseball feel like he was overpaid. $15 million a season would have been the tops of what he should have gotten. So that leads people to then think that the Red Sox must think that they got a steal with this guy or that they can really work with him and turn him back into the starter that used to pitch to a 3.5 ERA for the White Sox 4 or 5 years ago and not the guy who has been absolutely serving up meatballs free, you know, with free mozzarella and toasted heroes to go with him in the last couple of seasons. I don't know. He's a big dude. He can strike people out, but it's hard to get fired up when you see elite-level starters still on the market, guys going left and right to your competitors. And the best thing you can say is like, well, he only gave up 41 home runs last year when he was getting divorced and got traded. So there's that.
Yeah, it's an interesting move, right? Like, it's I actually think that there was a chance that a team wanted to sign him more to a four-year deal kind of thing, like a 4-for-70 type money-wise. And that would be more in line with what people kind of expected him to make on a year-to-year salary basis. Mm-hmm. But when you look at it, it's he's clearly betting on himself, and the Red Sox are clearly betting on him to kind of regain form and reassert himself as a dominant pitcher. And right. by doing that, they can then cash out after 1 year if he wants to go get a better contract and re-explore the pitching market, which will be even better next year. And so I don't hate the deal. Like, it's not – let me put it this way. I'm happy they made a move, right? Mm-hmm. To this point, they had spent $1 million on Cooper Criswell while the LA Dodgers had spent over $1 billion. So the fact that you actually went out, signed a legitimate MLB starter to right. put in the rotation alongside Bayo and Chris Sale and that those guys, like, okay, I'm happy. That's a step in the right direction. Is it the best guy on the market? No. But, like, it's a legit pitcher.
Yeah, so last year he made 33 starts. He had a just under 4 ERA with the White Sox, goes to the Angels, and gets absolutely mauled.
Yep.
They mortgage part of their future to try to convince Shohei to stay. That didn't work out so well. And then they move him on. They let go. They send him to the Guardians. He gets mashed over there as well. So if you wipe that year out, he's basically someone who's going to pitch to around a 4 ERA. Big dude, can eat the innings, definitely has a plus fastball.
He's going to strike out 1 million people.
Yes, he most certainly will, but also can serve up the Long Johnsons as well. So, you know, hey, yes, I, like you, am glad that the Red Sox finally signed somebody as well. Would he have been the first person that Sox fans would have liked to have seen the organization go after? Probably not. But at least now you have somebody who is a professional starter who can eat innings, who can man the up near top of the rotation if he can return to form. And if, you know, pitching at friendly Fenway is something that cottons to his style in 2024, yeah, then maybe they will have a near top of the rotation starter to add to whatever it else is that they're going to put out there. And maybe also, maybe this also convinces other people like, oh, the Red Sox aren't just going to nickel and dime their way through the offseason. Maybe, you know, hey, they got Giolito. Maybe I'll tell my agent to listen because they're going to try to actually build a contender and not just be a, you know, mid-level pretender.
Yeah, and there's room here to sign another starter, which is good news, right? Like, there's plenty of money to go around now. You didn't invest in Yamamoto or Ohtani. You have plenty of money to invest in other starters here to build up that rotation more. And it kind of lends credence to what the Red Sox did last year a lot of the times, which was rely on the bullpen to be awesome. And
sure.
And for long stretches of that season last year, that bullpen was really good. And that's exactly what this guy's going to do, right? He's going to go out, get you 5 or 6 solid innings with like 1 million strikeouts. I think he averages like 10 strikeouts per 9 last year.
Yep.
And he's going to get you going, right? He's going to eat up those innings, as you said. And in a best case scenario, if he makes the exact same amount of starts as last year, get you anywhere between 5 and 6, you're looking at 180 to 190 innings pitched, which is more than what the Red Sox have gotten out of starting pitching over the last few years. Like, 180 innings pitched would be good for a starting pitcher in the Red Sox rotation.
Yeah, last year was his innings peak in his professional career at 184 and a third innings. But then again, like we said, he also pitched for 3 different teams. Some called it a bit of a circuitous season the 29-year-old power-throwing right-hander. I would love to see him be like the number 2 starter, although I do wonder this, Shime. Let's say Giolito pitches to, you know, let's say 2 wins for every 1 loss and 4 ERA, and the Red Sox offense is decent enough to support him so that he doesn't just feel like he's whistling away on the mound, wasting away on the mound. Where does he fit in the rotation, like, right now? Where is he? Is he like the...
Probably number 3.
Is he 3? So who's 1?
Brian Bayo, maybe? I mean, to me...
I can't believe Bayo would be the ace already.
Well, I don't even know that you call him the ace. He's just your number 1 pitcher, right? He's the face of your franchise. You want to get him ready for the future, so you let him start opening day. Like, Chris Sale, I guess, is technically your number 1, but, like, who knows even what he's going to be, how long he's going to be healthy for. So that's why I think on opening day, as of this moment, I give the rock to Brian Bayo. I let him go out. I let him be the face of my pitching rotation. Is he a legit ace? No, he's still young. He's still growing. He's still developing. But you give him that that moment and that one start to build on, and you go forward. I think that's kind of at least how I would approach it.
Well, the issue might be the back half of the rotation, because we had Joe Weil and Cooper Borman both talk about the fact that Houck, Whitlock, and Winkowski are going to be stretched from long relievers to back of the end starters. Like, do we really trust that?
Well, so that's why I think that there's money left to be had for starting pitching, like, on this market. I think there's still guys you can go out and get, fill out this rotation. You know, that the James Paxton is that name that's been floated out there a little bit too, that the Red Sox have interest in him again.
Yep.
So I adding a guy like that, I mean, there you go with your four legitimate starters, which allows Houck, Crawford, Pivetta, Whitlock, all those guys to be in the bullpen and really kind of secure what should be the strength of the team.
Yeah. Okay. So here's a valid point. So when I say like, you know, when I put out on socials like, hey, guy gives higher ERA than you would want, necessarily gave up a lot of ding dongs last season, and people get all, you know, bent out of shape because they're happy the Red Sox signed somebody, so why can't we celebrate nice things, or this is why we can't have them. I just want to temper people's expectations. Like, this is not the ace. This is not the guy who's going to come in and all of a sudden, it's Pedro Day out on what used to be called Yawkey Way and is now Jersey Street. Like, it's not going, he's not going to, now he could be a steal. He could end up pitching well enough to be a front end rotation guy. That's great. Maybe he'll eat innings, like we said. Maybe he'll keep the Sox in more ball games than he blasts them out of. Awesome. But like, when you're looking at the rotation now, so FanGraphs has it as Sale as your opening day starter, Giolito is 2, Pivetta 3, Bayo 4, and Houck 5. I guess that's where he's probably slotted in. I would feel way more comfortable, as Joe just pointed out, with a lot of the guys potentially being stretch starters, also potentially relievers. I would love to see the Red Sox go get one other pitcher.
Agreed.
I would absolutely love to see them get one other arm, just because look at the attrition in the rotation last year. Like, guys were just flying in and out of the disabled list. Chris Sale wakes up and he, you know, gets out of bed and he's on the 15-day IL. Tanner Houck obviously had that freak accident, but that can just sort of happen, especially when you're a fastball pitcher in the American League or anywhere. Go get one other guy. If this is the start of things and it's going to be sort of like a mid-market approach trying to find the best value, okay, at least it's something, as opposed to the whole big old bag of nothing, which was what they were doing when it was only, you know, Richard Fitz and Tyler O'Neill and, you know, Cooper Criswell.
Yeah, it's
be honest, does anything that they do move the needle? Like, they could go get Blake Snell. Is anyone really going to believe in them?
No. But that's not, I don't think that's the point, right? Like, there's no name out here that you're going to go sign just by paying the money that's going to make you get all juiced up about the Red Sox. It's just not going to happen. The guys that were going to do that were Shohei Ohtani and Yamamoto. You got neither of them. You didn't trade for Soto. Like, the only way you can make that needle move is if you make some ridiculous trade for Mike Trout, which isn't going to happen. Like, so playing in fairy tale land isn't going to help us. We just have to be realistic with how you can at least help build this team going forward, right? So, like, adding a guy like Giolito, adding another guy like a Blake Snell would at least secure the rotation, right? You have a legit four deep starting pitchers. You allow your bullpen to be really good. You allow your hitters to be really good. And it's like, you have to start building. You have to start spending money somewhere. You don't have to overspend on guys that are borderline top end talent. You just have to spend money and you have to start building. You have to start doing something.
And if you also can, like, look at it this way, I still wish, I mean, my God, why in the world Chaim Bloom let guys like Nathan Eovaldi, who get crazy money, and
Michael Wacha.
I've had that's the thing, dude. Once somebody comes to Fenway, and maybe Giolito will prove, oh, hey, look, looks like this guy really works at Fenway. If 2/3 the way through the season, don't give him the chance to opt out immediately. Reconfigure the deal and lock him in for a couple of years, because maybe he'll be happy that he got good money from the Sox, and maybe he likes it at Fenway, and maybe his family says, hey, this is a fun place to play baseball, and maybe the passion of the Fellowship of the Miserable will get reignited and he'll be a part of that. Awesome. But to me, it wasn't even just holding on to his picks in a, you know, and regrowing the farm system in an bloated Danny Angian style, if you will, crossing sports for the reference. To me, Chaim Bloom's greatest crime, and maybe this has a lot to do, Chaim, with ownership and the edicts they've handed out financially, is letting guys like Schwarber, who fit, like Eovaldi, who fit, like Wacha, who had a career renaissance with the Red Sox in 2020, letting these guys walk over pennies. Now, like, if you added Giolito to a rotation that had those guys, plus Bayo and Sale, and then you could stretch out some of the other guys. I mean, that would be awesome. Then you could afford to sign Paxton. Hell, go 60. At this point now, you know, I just hope fans don't expect too much of Giolito. But like Merlone said last night on Twitter, now I'm fixing my eyes on Paxton. We're not going to go ahead and get the top end guy, but if we can get some guys that have worked here, who like it here, who can be good, solid, middle of the rotation, dependable guys, you can start building a legit competitive baseball team around that.
This is where you need to put on your Bill Belichick hat, right? Like, it's not to do another cross-board analogy again here, but he has always filled in the cracks, right, when it came to mid-level talent that he felt would fit good within the Patriots system, whether it was defensively or offensively.
That's right.
Primarily defensively. And he would go and find them, guys like Jelani Tavai or, you know, of that ilk, where he's like, oh, I can find your Kyle Van Noys, your Rob Ninkoviches. I can
your
find
Mike
them.
Mike Vrabels.
Yes.
He's a legend at finding those guys where it's like, he looks like he's got talent, but he's on someone else's scrap. Like, Bill Belichick is the master, the king of the NFL Alston Christmas, where it's out on the curb and someone else picks it up and reconstitutes it for a new purpose.
And that's what the Red Sox need to do right now. They got Giolito. They spent their money on one guy. It wasn't massive money, but it was larger than market value. So you went and got your legit starting pitcher, add him to the rotation. So now let's start filling in the cracks. You get James Paxton, you get some other guys in here, and then you start building towards the future, because at the same time, you're also expecting some of those younger guys you have in the system that Heim Bloom was so obsessed with not touching are going to start evolving and getting ready to join your lineup as well.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's right.
617-779-7937 if you want to join us this morning. It is Fitzy and Chime filling in for Ken and Curtis on this Saturday, and Joe Braverman is going to get you caught up with what's trending.
Gresh and Fourier, weekdays 10 to 2. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Well, despite being shorthanded and on the second night of a back-to-back, the Celtics moved to 16-0 at home with a 120-118 victory over the Toronto Raptors. It's their fifth straight win. The Seas did lead by as much as 20, but Jaylen Brown led the spark and held him off. He finished with 31 points, 10 rebounds, and 6 assists. Derek White was right behind him with 21. Luke Kornet got the start and had 20 points on 9 of 11 shooting and 8 rebounds. Coach Joe Mazzulla talked about all the confidence that he has in those makeup players.
You know, I said before the game to the locker room, you know, this is another opportunity. I don't care who we're playing against or what the starting lineup is or what the bench is. I got complete trust and confidence in the character of our locker room because of who they are. And I think we can win any game, no matter what.
Next up for the Celtics will be a New Year's Eve night showdown in San Antonio to take on Victor Wembanyama and the Spurs. As we just talked about, the Red Sox made a move in free agency. The team has signed starter Lucas Giolito to a two-year, $38.5 million contract. The right-hander finished 8-15 with a 4.88 ERA in 2023 with an American League high 41 home runs allowed with the White Sox, Angels, and Guardians. The Bruins are back in the ice tonight, hosting the Devils from TD Garden. Coach Jim Montgomery said recent call-up Georgi Mirkalov will be in the lineup for his NHL debut. Thank you, Sean, for the applaud on the pronunciation.
Love me some Mirkalov.
Of course, why not? Puck drop for Bruins and Devils is set for 7 o'clock. Final injury report has been released as the Patriots head to Buffalo for their final road game of the season tomorrow. Juwan Bentley, Kayshon Booty, Trent Brown, Ezekiel Elliott, and Jalen Mills were removed from the injury report. However, Juju Smith-Schuster has already been ruled out with his lingering ankle injury. Nine other pads are questionable. That would be Christian Barmore, Miles Bryant, Kyle Duggar, who was a new addition, Hunter Henry, Anfernee Jennings, Jonathan Jones, Jabril Peppers, Matthew Slater, and Sean Wade. No big names for Buffalo on their injury report. Pats and Bills kick off from Highmark Stadium at 1 p.m. tomorrow afternoon. And staying in the NFL, Week 17 continues today with a Saturday night primetime matchup between the Lions and the Cowboys. You can listen to Westwood One's coverage of that game right here on 93.7 WEI-FM with beginning at 7:45. I'm Joe Braverman, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot?
Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is the Ken and Curtis Show right here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. No Ken, no Curtis with you today. It is Fitzy and Shime with you all the way up until noontime today. Fitzy, I got to tell you, this is the best. I missed you, bud. I missed you.
I find this to be such an absolute stress-free, laid-back, my kind of sports talk delight, Shime. Hart and I did our due diligence. I know you did a lot of mornings this week. You were producing, you were chatting with Curtis, whatever. We had a great time when it was you, me, and Keith. Rave reviews a couple of days back, right before the holiday. Hart and I, solid week as well. And I forgot, and I wanted to run this one by you, Shime, working with Braverman all week, who did a spectacular job filling in for
one of the hardest working men in the business.
Swear to God, nobody, like in full Belichick, like no one works harder than Braverman, like first in, last out, like he's
steps
really
up,
steps up all the time, everything you ask of him. It's amazing because he did the work of Billy Lanny and Nick LaPan all week seamlessly. We are two things. One, right now, a primetime parlay is hanging in the balance based off of Joe Braverman's money line pick of the Washington Cougars Monday for the college football playoffs.
Nice. I love that pick, Joe. Well done.
Huskies on the money line over
Cougars,
Texas.
Sorry. No, it's the Washington State Cougars and the Washington Huskies. My apologies.
I love
so Huskies,
Washington.
So Huskies on the money line. Let's go Michael Penix Jr. Yesterday, Hart had Mizzou, who pulled off a nice win. A,
you
bet on the game, and B, who doesn't love rooting against Ohio State, which was Hart's logic, and it worked. I'm so mad. Braverman, I told you how much I love Notre Dame yesterday against Oregon State, because Oregon State had no offense to speak of thanks to the transfer portal and a couple of injuries, and Notre Dame would be playing powerhouse football. Spoiler alert, they only won by 31. But the problem was, in addition to forgetting to put money on our parlay, which I promised I would do, Shime, what is the term for, I was on the radio and the game started at 2 and I forgot to put the bet in by the time there was kickoff because I went and got water, used the bathroom, and then it was 2:02 and I was like,
no!
Son of a blah! Well, I'm 50, so mad that I missed it.
Here's the thing, though. You know you could have just bet the live line, right? Like 2 minutes into the game, you can just bet the live line?
I know. But then I'm,
you missed out. I get it.
I did. I missed out. It was a total my bad. And two, Braverman, what do we do now? Because, Shime, this week, over the course of the midday show, Hart, Braverman, and I took the Red Sox from the nickname of the Interest Kings to the Tire Kickers.
Ooh, so okay.
Now the Sox have gone past
just Tire
Kickers.
Shout out to the text line for that one.
Yo, shout out to the text line. Excellent. Thank you, guys, at 37937.
Yeah, they went from that to Tire Kickers. Someone said Window Shoppers.
Right.
They got a lot of nicknames.
Okay. Yeah, which is great. And they were all that and then some. But now they actually pulled up into the used car lot. And it's like one of those, you know, certified used car lots, not some, you know, one at the corner where you're not sure if you're just getting a beater or it's a scam. They went and purchased themselves a nice, gently used Giolito. So I guess now the Red Sox are back in business, and there's reason for, you know, Sox fans to have a little hope this offseason, which is a beautiful thing.
It's nice to at least have a little bit of hope. But I did want to Euro step real quick off of Joe's Washington Huskies pick. So, you know, live idea right on the air. We didn't talk about this beforehand. Yeah, a little kickflip ollie right off of Joe's idea.
It's a great, that's an absolutely fantastic sports metaphor radio term.
Thank you. Yeah, so let's Euro step off of Joe's Washington moneyline pick. Can we do a Ken and Curtis replacements parlay right now, including that pick? Because I too have a pick I love tonight, and then we could toss in the Lions Cowboys game as well. Because this is right up my wheelhouse, and I have been dying for this.
Join the fun shine. Come on in.
I'm telling
Water's
you.
Water's fine.
Goose. I'm telling you. Lions Cowboys tonight. Jahmyr Gibbs 60 plus rushing yards. Book it. Lock it in.
Really?
Yo, yeah. 100%. So Jonathan Hankins is missing in the middle of the lineup for the defensive line of the Dallas Cowboys. They have been getting pummeled by the run.
Good
and
point.
There is not a team in football whose offensive line is better at running the football than the Detroit Lions.
All right, Chime. So right now I'm on my preferred sports book of choice, obviously the sponsor of the Six Rings and Football Things podcast, FanDuel Sportsbook.
I'm also on FanDuel at this very moment.
Well done. Well done, my friend. So right now I can get Jahmyr Gibbs at 52.5 yards, minus 113, and it's also minus 113. David Montgomery, 56.5. Why would I not maybe take Montgomery, who's a bit more of a between-the-tackles guy, and then maybe take the passing yards prop on Jahmyr Gibbs, who right now, once he catches like a screen or, you know,
he
bubble
just goes.
Screen or something in the flat, he gone.
He's
man.
Explosive. Like, well,
we're seeing why they were interested in him all the way up at 12.
I think that's actually one of the reasons why I like the Gibbs number better. Like, if I'm betting on a touchdown score here, I would probably lean Montgomery just because he gets those carries within 10 yards of the goal line. But when it comes to just open field explosiveness, man, they love to run way more power with Gibbs than they do with Montgomery, which is it's kind of a little weird knowing that Montgomery seems to be the more goal line back, so you'd expect more power, where it's actually kind of opposite. They love to run a little bit more wide zone with Montgomery and a little bit more power with Gibbs. And so I think Gibbs is going to feast in this game, and so I think there's a chance he breaks a run of 20 plus at some point in the first half, and this number seems way too small. I also love the plus money at 60, so by getting the plus money there with the plus money from Washington, just the two alone already puts you at plus 475. I think we also toss in the Bruins money line. Devils on the second night of a back-to-back. Bruins have had a couple days off. They know that they lost a few games. I think they lost like 5 of 6 after getting the win just the other night, and they need to come out and get another win against a good Eastern Conference team. So I think tossing the Bruins in there as well might be the play.
You can call me an NFL casual or just a betting basic, but how in the world am I supposed to not bet the over 52.5 points in Lions Cowboys tonight? Is that just staring me in the face?
That is the squarest bet on the board. I will be honest with you. So,
honest to God, I mean, how do you not just pay for Christmas by just laying whatever is in the account and maybe dropping a couple extra bucks in hopes that those credit card bills, which are coming down the Mass Pike pretty damn fast, can get taken care of by a very spry Detroit Lions offense and a Dallas team that is looking to kind of prove themselves on national TV, because their offense at home, Shime, versus their offense on the road, you want to talk about night and day.
It is crazy. And so I think, too, the way to actually approach this is instead of placing the sucker's bet, which is the over 52.5, which I don't think is necessarily a bad bet. Like, it is the squarest bet on the board, but it's not necessarily a bad bet. I think the better way to approach it, personally, is the Cowboys team total in the first half. All right? Not to get real degenerate on you here, not to spiral into a ton of gambling talk, but
giddy up.
Cowboys total team total in the first half right now is over 14.5, and that's plus 115. The Dallas Cowboys have scored, I believe it's 17 points in the first half of football games, something like 10 out of the last 11.
Wow.
The Dallas Cowboys lighted up in the first half, and against a Detroit defense who isn't that good, and with their own defense struggling and Detroit being able to put points on the board, I think Dallas is going to have to respond, which to me indicates an over 14.5 first half team total for the Cowboys, is what I like.
Yeah. Okay. That's a solid play right there. I would also imagine that Jared Goff throws. I wonder if I can get the INT prop on Goff tonight as well. I just have a feeling it'd be big game like that. He always offers the other. He gives the other team a chance on half of his passes, no doubt.
Well, especially against a Dallas defense that is going to take advantage of those opportunities. A guy like DeRon Bland, who has the single season record for most pick sixes, is going to be looking for another one. He always is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he always is as well. And I'll tell you, somebody who's been very good to me on the propositionals this season, I don't think I have ever lost anything this year involving Sam Laporta.
So last week, actually, he had his lowest usage rate in his young career, at least so far this season. They were barely looking his way at all. So I kind of would expect a bounce back, especially with the lack of talent for the Cowboys at linebacker. I think Laporta could have a big day. I would lean a lot into Laporta and the running backs if you're looking to build a nice little same game parlay here. You know, maybe bring the over down a little bit on the alternate line, toss in a Laporta and a Gibbs prop, and I think you're looking good.
Delicious. And just like we discussed during the break, when we're like, all right, start Red Sox, then we'll make our way into the Celtics, and we'll save the NFL for hour two and three. We delve deep into the degenerate waters of betting the Saturday night game, which, by the way, is the centerpiece of my Saturday. I got tons to do. I got work. I got cleanup. I got six rings prep for tomorrow. I got the two kids with me for the majority of the afternoon. I am focusing all the energies of this particular person's Death Star. All the firepower is focused on making sure that I have a clean slate by 8:16 when the game kicks off tonight.
Well, Fitzy, you know me. Like, you chummed the waters with the Joe Braverman Washington pick. How could I not take that alley-oop and absolutely 360 dunk it? Like, I shattered the glass with this one. I want to talk gambling all the time.
Yeah, Fitzy, you got to be careful about gambling around Chime. One little word, it'll set him off.
I start sweating. Like, it's just, it's the best.
That's right, Braverman. I am dangerous. By the way, finished last night. I finished watching. I actually watched it earlier in the week, and then I forced myself to go back and rewatch it to see if I felt the same way about it the second time. I rewatched Dead Reckoning last night, part one of Mission Impossible, part seven. Have you seen it yet, Chime?
I have not, no.
Holy smokes. Upon immediate review, like, I thought it necessitated a second watch within a week's time. Holy smokes. The action sequences in that movie, like, they're just, it. Watch it when you get a chance. I don't know when you build in your movie watching, your holiday movie watching, or you're like decompressing from football watching and catch up on all the cinema. But I've gotten into it earlier this season just because it's a nice salve. It's a nice balm from the negativity that has surrounded Talking Patriots 24/7. Damn, man, that Haley Atwell and Tom Cruise, you want to talk about a same game parlay? I would ride every night. Holy smokes.
Deep in the all 22s, Fitzy, still. Most times I come here, I produce the Greg Hill Show in the morning, Monday through Friday. I go home, I sit in my little cave, and I play video games and watch the All 22. And that's kind of the way I live my life at the moment. Yeah, it's what happens during football season.
Yeah, mixing a couple of seltzers, seasonal cocktails and crafties, and that is good LIVIN.
Oh, I have been drinking many a crafties. It has been quite the blessed holiday season, let me tell you. It has been wonderful. 617-779-7937 if you want to weigh in on the Red Sox, which we talked about to open the show. If you want to weigh in on our gambling here, Joe's pick of Washington on New Year's Day against Texas, correct? They're currently 4.5-point dogs. Joe doesn't care about the points. He just wants the money line. Just to have them win.
I got to tell you, that is still the chutzpah.
I love it.
Eventually, I know we're going to talk Celtics, but I see you can't mention that one more time without me wondering aloud, like, did Las Vegas, as good as Texas has been, did Las Vegas not see Washington go toe-to-toe twice with a top-10 worthy team in the form of Oregon and say...
And beat them twice.
They beat them twice. Michael Penix outdueled Bo Nix, who I think is a borderline pro-ready quarterback now, two times on the biggest national stage, giving us two of the most entertaining games of the year. I do understand Texas beat Alabama outright, which is what caused all of the controversy and consternation when it came time for choosing the Final Four in the college football playoff. But I mean, Yeah, Washington is a very live dog on Monday night. Very live dog, especially with the quality receivers that Washington has.
When you're looking at a guy like Michael Penix, and then you talk about Roma Dunze and stuff like that, like that, this Washington team can play. They went toe to toe and beat Oregon not once but twice. They've done it on the biggest stage. They beat 18 ranked Utah as well, I believe. So this Washington team can play. That offense is unbelievably explosive. You cannot just look past them and assume Texas wins this game just because they're in the SEC. Washington is a legit football team that beat a very, very talented Oregon squad. And I think these games are going to be awesome. I love the Monday slate, but we will get to that. First, with Fitzy, quickly, we have to mention the Boston Celtics because last night's win, an undermanned performance, Jaylen Brown goes out there, no Jason Tatum, no Kristaps Porzingis, no Al Horford. Jaylen Brown says, don't worry, you made me the highest paid player in the league. I'll put you on my back and carry you to the win. And that's what happened.
The guy had a sore back, too. He missed the previous game.
Exactly. He had missed the previous game with a sore back. Thank you, Joe. He scored 31 points, had 10 rebounds and 6 assists in that game. Like, just put the backpack on, Drew Lock backpack, strapped that sucker on, and carried this team to a W against the Raptors in the second game of a back-to-back. And this Celtics team, man, they are so good, top to bottom. It is kind of remarkable to me how Kristaps Porzingis puts up 35, out the next night, doesn't matter, still win. Jason Tatum had 31 the night before,
yep.
Out, still win. Like, this team, I'm kind of in a holding pattern because it feels too much like last year's Bruins team for me to get so amped up and then watch them lose at like the first or second round of the playoffs. So for me, I'm kind of in a holding pattern. But top to bottom, the starting five of this team is tremendous.
I got to tell you, as somebody who was not the biggest fan of signing Jaylen Brown to the max deal, I know he earned it. It was probably the only way to keep him unless you were going to deal him. So, but these are the economics of the game and the now. So I understand that's how it had to be ultimately. Wasn't the biggest fan. Will still honestly own and wear that jacket if that jacket ultimately proves to be one loaded with shame. It's great to see him playing his best basketball of his career. And it's funny how these guys seem to play their best basketball. I don't want to go all Jeff Goodman here, like, oh, these guys don't really hang out off the court and they take two different Ubers on the way home from the game. You know, I think they play their best basketball a lot of the times when they operate individually. And so when Jaylen Brown knew he had to carry the team last night, he did. He was awesome. What was it? 31, 10, and 6. Massive game. And also, as soon as that injury report came out yesterday, Shime, I immediately thought, like, okay, you know.
Ooh, bet the Raptors.
No, I have more confidence in the Celtics team when they're undermanned than I do sometimes when they are at full strength. For some reason, guys like, there's always someone who randomly steps up. Last night it was Luke Kornet. Some other nights it's Peyton Pritchard. Derek White is my guy every night, all the time, 24/7, 365. Another great game for him, over 20 points, 5 rebounds, 7 assists. And his lane presence, I mean, whoever
tremendous.
Would have thought that the best low post presence, the best low post defender on the Celtics would be Derek White. Now, I know it's Horford or Porzingis in the long run. Like, you're not going to see Derek White on Giannis in the playoffs. But the way this guy just flies through the lane and blocks shots more often than not with his left hand out of the blue, it's stunning. It's a testament to the guy's fortitude, his playmaking, his big play ability, which we obviously saw on full display against the Miami Heat last May. With every game, I hope people appreciate how good this guy is.
It's interesting you bring that up because I just heard a TikTok yesterday from JJ Redick's podcast of him breaking down exactly why Derek White should be an All-Star participant. I thought it was awesome. Like, it's advanced stats that are way above my head when it comes to the world of basketball. I'm more into the NFL advanced stats, you know me, DVOA yep. hole over here. But I appreciate anybody who can break down advanced stats in their given sport. And that's exactly what JJ Redick did. When it comes to, like, points created per touch, Derek White is in the top 3 in the league. When it comes to points defended per touch, so when he is squared up against anybody touching the basketball, he's top 10 in the league. This guy is one of the best guards, two-way guards, in all of basketball right now. And so Derek White has been the kind of quiet story and quiet glue of this Celtics team so far this season.
But the issue has been, as JJ pointed out on his podcast, role players don't ever make the All-Star
Correct.
Team.
And that's the big issue, is they should, but they don't. Like, he is so unbelievably valuable to this team. I think now the Celtics are 23-4 with him on the court and 2-2 with him off the court.
Wow.
That's a big deal, right? Like 500 with him off the court and just a ridiculous winning percentage on. And so I think Derek White has been kind of the quiet story, but we'll get into more Celtics here coming up. 617-779-7937. The Red Sox signing Lucas Giolito still on the table as well. If you want to weigh in on that, 379-937 if you want to text in. It was funny. Fitzy and I were talking Celtics in the break before we got derailed by gambling, and Fitzy brought up to me that he felt like last night was the perfect example of the issues the Celtics need to address at the trade deadline. And so I'm curious his thoughts. We'll get that next right here on Ken and Curtis with Fitzy and Chime.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Four in the shot clock. Right.
Yeah! Up against the shot clock. Look at the footwork. No space. That's what he does. Makes big plays.
Brown to the basket.
That's a great five. I'm not sure Jaylen Brown makes that play a year ago. That's great vision. Hitting Cornette on the dive. Oh, that's a great tip in. Good job by Cornette clearing that ball. Very nice.
All I do is win, 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 no matter what. Got money on my mind, I can never get enough. And every time I step up in the building, everybody hands go up. And they stay there, and they say yeah. And they
this is the Ken and Curtis Show right here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. No Ken, no Curtis. Fitzy and Shime filling in today. Not to get entirely derailed again, Fitzy, but with that rejoin, I have to say... T-Pain, one of the most underappreciated celebrities we have in the world. T-Pain is amazing.
Can I also just add that as somebody who regularly partakes in the on-field entertainment or halftime festivities at Gillette Stadium as part of my game day in-stadium host responsibility, Shime, sometimes I find out that I'm running an impromptu game. Some sort of fan service or yes. Like I got to do last time, we played Two Truths and a Lie with Corey Dillon, Marcus Cannon, Ooh. And Jonas Gray. And I got to interview Corey Dillon on field at halftime.
That's pretty cool.
It was awesome. It was great. What was the last home game? The Chiefs game. So it was great. And it's a thrill of a lifetime. It truly is an honor. And it's, you know, between this and that makes for just fulfilling a local sports fan's dream to get to do that. That said... Okay, what would you rather have for halftime entertainment? Would you rather have Fitzy on the field, Nick Fitzy Stevens interviewing Corey Dillon, or T-Pain performing live for you at Allegiant Stadium?
let me tell you.
Which is what I got to see last year when I saw the Raiders-Patriots game, you know, the infamous Jacoby Myers backwards lateral. He was literally the halftime show.
I love T-Pain. I might be, Fitzy, the biggest T-Pain fan you know. Not that you know many, but I might be the biggest. I am in love with T-Pain. I think he is one of the most entertaining humans on the planet. He streams on Twitch as well. If you've ever seen, he has like a viral Twitch intro, which is outstanding. There's a bunch of clips going around now of his live concert out in LA of him doing a bunch of covers of songs, and people never realized that T-Pain could like actually sing.
He can really. He's one of those guys where it's like, where did that come from?
Yeah, he does Stapleton's Tennessee Whiskey, kills it. He does the white people anthem, Don't Stop Believin', kills it. Like he is. T-Pain is one of the underappreciated treasures we have in this country.
He was something else. And I just thought it was so funny to be out there at that game last year. Obviously, it was something I'll never forget for the remainder of this human existence. But to see him at halftime and just be like, huh, so fans at Gillette get me talking to people or playing on oversized tic-tac-toe with
That's
local.
That's the difference between Foxborough and Vegas.
It was wild, to say the least. That's also a fun little side topic. Not that we'll have room for it today because we have such a packed sports dance card. But, like, who is your guilty pleasure entertainer? Like, T-Pain may be your guy. Like, yeah. You're just like, you can't get enough.
I cannot. All of the T-Pain content, I'll take it.
Oh, yeah.
Careful, he might swear.
He might, but that's all right.
He is the best.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Boop, boop. Yeah. Huh. Boop, boop. Yeah, his Twitch intro is insane. It's so good.
That's awesome.
But one of the more underrated, underappreciated treasures that we have in Boston, the Boston Celtics, because they're kicking ass. Not to get back to the Celtics, not to try and parlay T-Pain back into the Celtics here. But Fitzy, you had told me that you felt like last night showed you exactly what the Celtics needed to address at the trade deadline. And I'm curious what your answer is, because I don't necessarily see a desperate need, but you clearly saw something, and I wanted to know what it was that you saw.
Okay, so last night, the easy way to say it is, hey, man, no Tatum, no Porzingis, no Horford, no problem, bro. Celtics are always going to roll, man. That's how loaded this team is. Okay, sure, yeah. They got out to a nice early lead. They held on to it for a while. Then the Raptors kept playing their asses off. There was no quitting that team last night as well. Shout out Scotty Barnes for an absolutely awesome game. 30-10-5. He couldn't miss in the second half last night. But the thing that just kept coming to my mind when I was watching the Celtics have that lead get eaten into and then have the Raptors take the lead in the fourth quarter, and I thought, all right, well, if they're going to lose this game, it's great to see that they came out hot early, but you could just chalk it up to no Porzingis, no Tatum, no Horford. What do you expect them to do? But you had right there, Shime. You had your three best rebounders all out. You had your two best low post defenders, Porzingis and Horford, out. And the thing that keeps coming back to me is what people talked about before the season even tipped off, once all the trades were consummated, which was the Celtics need more big depth. They need, if it's a big that can score, great. But most importantly, they absolutely need a low post defender that can maybe eat a couple minutes every night, but they have to have someone who's bench ready and could possibly get asked to step in. Because look at Horford and Porzingis. Because they got murdered in the paint last night. Like, the Raptors had so many second-chance putbacks and points. Like,
yeah, but they got murdered even worse two nights ago against the Pistons. Like,
yeah,
that.
Okay.
The Pistons absolutely dominated them, and they had Porzingis on the floor.
Correct. Yeah, and that's when they had him on the floor. But he was scoring his ass off, but I think he was probably kind of, like, mitigating his defensive efforts because he's always managing a little something. And, you know, I don't know how I feel ultimately about the line I set before the season of Porzingis games played 64.5. Like, we may get the over, but barely on that one. And that's fine. Again, so long as he's healthy come postseason, that's what matters most. But if you've got Horford, who's not going to play back-to-backs, and they're going to load manage all the way because he played several hundred minutes too many last season when he was, I don't know, a year younger, and he's almost 40 now. And Porzingis, unicorn that he may be, and he's a much better two-way defender and low post presence than people give him credit for, because you think Porzingis and you think all of his unique scoring abilities. These guys could both be out any given night, and not when the Celtics are planning to have both of them out. You got to have somebody else that can step in there that can actually just clog the lane or maybe give them some sort of low post presence, defensively speaking. So you saw that happen against Detroit, and especially last night. That is going to be priority number one if you're me, or rather if you're the Celtics, come late January, early February at the trade.
So here's my counter, and it's just, yeah, those guys are going to get load managed the rest of the way, but come playoff time, is it really going to matter? And like, to this point, you're 25-6, you're the number one seed in the Eastern Conference with the way the roster is currently constituted. I don't think you need to expend any assets to really add anything at the deadline. I think you're kind of good the way you are at the moment, and you continue to load manage. You continue to do what you've been doing going through the season so that these guys are all healthy come playoffs, because then in the playoffs, it's a rotation of six, maybe seven. Like, the only guys getting on the court that aren't in your starting five of Porzingis, Tatum, Brown, White, and Drew Holiday is Al Horford and, like, maybe a little bit of Peyton Pritchard. That's it. Like, nobody else is touching the floor.
You can throw Sam Hauser in there, too, for an eight man.
I mean, coming in the playoffs, he's not going to touch the floor. He's going to touch the floor in blowouts. That's it. Like, those guys, those five guys are going to be on the floor almost the entire game every night. Because that is your best chance to win. That is your best lineup. Nobody's coming off the floor. So even if you go out at the deadline and get a quote-unquote defensive specialist, rebound specialist, like, what is that going to do? It come playoff time. It's not going to matter. So for me, personally, like, why expend the assets for something that's going to be irrelevant in the most important time of the season?
Because what if you get into, you know, what if you get into the playoffs and one of those guys goes down? There's a very, I mean, you have to just sort of,
yeah, but there's
why.
Always
wouldn't
that
you rather
chance.
Have, wouldn't you rather have low post redundancy or just a preventative measure that you'd have in the, if that person eats bench and rides pine the whole time and gets very few minutes, maybe just a couple to spell one or the other during the game, so be it. I mean, I know you want to just have a 7 or 8 person rotation, but full well knowing that Horford is older, and the older you get, and you're carrying around that size frame and everything else that Al Horford's gone through, if you're carrying around that kind of weight frame and age and experience, and you know Porzingis is just like a, you know, a rebound or a breath away sometimes from tweaking something or straining something else, I just rather have it as opposed to not. And I don't think you're going to have to spend crazy value. Don't the Celtics have a, what is it, like a $6.3 million trade exemption that they could use this season?
Yes, I believe that's the case.
All right. Well, I mean, that and you
sure.
Know.
So I guess you don't like O'Shea Brissett. You're not a big Brissett guy.
Mm-hmm.
I like Jacoby.
I don't think I'm the president of the O'Shea Brissett fan club.
Fair enough. 617-779-7937. If you want to weigh in on your Boston Celtics, what do you think they need at the trade deadline, if anything? How do you feel about this team currently number one in the East at 25-6? Just got back-to-back wins. We also talked about your Boston Red Sox. Lucas Giolito, officially a Boston Red Sox, signed a 2-year deal worth $38.5 million. Could go up to 40 and could be a 3-year deal with a team option. It is Fitzy and Shime filling in for Ken and Curtis here on WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.